to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to the third and final part of the life and times story of Jack Levi, as told by Jack through his recollections. I'm Rob Greaves, and it's a pleasure to be with you once again. In the previous two programs, we've learned that Jack was born in 1950 and that his parents, from Egypt, arrived to live in Australia in the late 1940s. Jack is an intelligent, thoughtful man and was very studious, and he completed a degree at Melbourne University, graduating as a computer programmer. While he worked for several years in the 1970s in that role, his true nature shone through when he found success as a deadpan comedian. And so it was that his alter ego, Elliot Goblet, was born. Among the TV shows he appeared on were The Darryl Summers Show and Hey Hey It's Saturday, and through these successes he gained work and fame nationally and overseas. This week Jack reflects on the importance he pays to staying fit and healthy, and he draws upon the lifestyle philosophies of his mother that he spoke about in part one of his story. We discuss his response to the COVID lockdowns and how he coped, and how he has now come through a little bit more choosy about what gigs he takes, but how he is working again and working consistently. Jack shares his thoughts in a wide-ranging discussion, covering contemporary politics through to the social role organisations such as the Les Quintyman Foundation and Father Bob Play, two organisations that Jack, or should I say Elliot, has and continues to support. Finally, Jack looks into the future, as it might be for both himself and Elliot. We pick up now with Jack discussing how he keeps himself fit and in a healthy state. When you say you look after yourself, what sort of things keep you the way you are?
Power walking every second day. It's a real de-stressor, as well as keeping you fit. Eat well. I've got a naturopath and an acupuncturist, so I've got people that give me alternatives. I don't take drugs, never taken drugs, never smoked cigarettes, apart from three puffs, but I gave up cold turkey. And drink moderately, but just try and have a stress-free life and love what I'm doing and be with people that don't aggravate me. I think there's a number of things that you have to do to retain, to guarantee longevity.
Yeah, we started to talk about that at the beginning of our chat together, about your mum's philosophy on longevity. Would you say you've implemented some of those automatically, or have they resulted because your mum's spoken about them?
I think automatically. Also, she's been a great example of, not carrying regrets from the past and being kind to people, being compassionate. She's the most compassionate person I know. Visiting younger people than her at the nursing homes, and, although the number of her friends are running out, but she's got one in particular that she sees and does things for, which is just wonderful, so she's been a real, an inspiration to me and an example of how to do it.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned the word COVID a little while ago, and sadly it's not a word in our lexicon that's going to go away in the near future. But we had an 18-month, almost two-year period where life changed quite dramatically for everybody. What sort of impact did it have on you, that period of lockdowns and out and in and out? Did it affect you much?
Look, it did, but I could see a lot of positives out of COVID. But it did. It's made me more resilient and more appreciative of what I've got, loving the fact that I've got liberty and I can travel more than 5 kilometres and I don't have to wear a mask when I go outside and those things. I'm just loving that. It probably opened my eyes a bit as well, and I could see some fractures in people's friendships and relationships, and that's been exacerbated with COVID. It made me the lockdown, one of our longer lockdowns, made me actually get on the phone and have decent conversations with a number of people that I wouldn't have had decent conversations with, sometimes it took two phone calls for them to get back to me. And look, some people And that was actually very good for me, very good for them, because they had somebody calling on that really cared.
Mm.
It was also good for me in that I felt I was helping people every time I made a call, you know, and that helped my self-esteem during a time when a lot of self-esteems were down. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah. So that helped me. So it was a win-win situation, and I realised that there are really basically two classes of people, those that sitting in a dark place and feeling increasingly sorry for themselves about what they're missing out on, and others that are actually getting on with it, like me, and doing things that they can do during this period. You know, I opened myself up to doing virtual gigs. I got my website designer to make some more changes to my website. I got the SEO guy to put a bit more effort in. So I made use of that time as much as I could.
Mm.
And yeah,
carried some positivity through it.
Oh, look, absolutely. There was definitely some positives out of COVID, and that people did become a bit more compassionate, spend more time with their families, and the dogs got extra walks, and you know.
Oh yeah, they appreciated that.
Yeah, so there were positives. In fact, I listed a whole lot of positives on Facebook some time ago. Yeah.
In terms of your home, were your dogs your only companions during that lockdown period?
No, I don't have dogs.
No. Oh, I thought you said you took.
No, other people's dogs.
Oh, other people's dogs.
Other people's dogs.
You were basically living alone then during those periods, that lockdown period.
Yeah, I have a lady friend. And
But was she home with you? Or were you
No, you were
isolated.
Yeah,
pretty much for some time. Yeah, well,
you could see intimate. You were able to see intimate partners.
Yeah. So, oh, that's right. Yes,
yeah, and too. I was able to see my mum, who doesn't live far away, for compassionate reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, when we could go for walks with friends, I did a lot of that. Yeah.
This, looking at contemporary world at the moment, you would have to say it's anything but a peaceful, harmonious world.
Mm.
I guess there's an argument that says, well, look, it's been like that since the 50s, because we grew up, even though we were kids, in a period of, you know, possible nuclear war, atomic war, they called it then.
Cold War.
And then we went through Vietnam, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, it appears as though the stress is even greater in terms of whether we're even going to survive currently. Do you see it that way, and how do you deal with it? Or is it something you just try to avoid having to think about so life can go on?
Yeah, I do. I put it in a corner. I don't focus on it too much. I just hope that good prevails over evil. It's always a hope, and that the current situation is resolved. But yeah, it's just disappointing that we've got bullies in the world, and we're doing our best to defeat those bullies, but it's a tough one. Yeah.
Well, if you had some grandchildren, theoretical grandchildren,
yep,
what would be your greatest concern for them growing up?
Oh,
What is it that worries you about the potential future for the kids of tomorrow?
I think other people, the scammers and the liars and partners, I think that they might meet. I think it'd be really tough to have a daughter or a granddaughter, because you'd have to worry about the quality of the person that takes her out, you know. Now, have they got a good, how are they mentally, you know, if they're a bit unhinged, then your daughter or granddaughter is actually going to suffer through that.
Mm-hmm.
By them maybe speeding while they're driving, or harming them, or just maybe giving them a hard time if there's a split. So you'd have to worry, particularly say if you had a daughter, even a son, you'd worry about the mental state of a woman that they were taking out, you know, because there seems to be an increasing number of dysfunctional and unhinged people, young people out there. And a lot of them because they've had dysfunctional, they're part of dysfunctional families and haven't had an outlet to that. During lockdown it would have been worse, because you were locked in with this dysfunctional family.
That's right, yes. Pressure cooker.
Yeah, people like Les Twentyman and Father Bob have been great at helping people by giving them an alternative, particularly Les Twentyman. There's a big event for the Les Twentyman Foundation coming up at the Palms at Crown on July 17, and I've done a lot of work with Les over the years, because they're doing practical things. The Les Twentyman Foundation do things like buy books for kids to get them back to school, so they want them back in school rather than out in the streets.
Yes.
And putting kids into sports teams to get them involved in an activity with others that's not gang oriented, you know. So instead of going into gangs, these kids can go into sports teams. So giving them really healthy outlets and trying to solve some of the real issues by not just talking about it, but doing it.
I was going to say, as you were talking, what was coming to my mind was that it's almost like they're evoking change through real-time action rather than more talk.
That's right.
Which we are great as a society at doing, is talking about it.
Well, politicians do a lot of that. And at least Twentyman Foundation, out of this function on July 17, will make some money and hopefully hire more youth workers, because that's the way. That's the way I can help the guy in the gutter, you know. The guy or the woman in the gutter. I can help them, not by walking over and buying them a sandwich, but by helping the helpers. So doing something so that the Les Twentyman Foundation can make some real money and put on some real youth workers to help those people in the way that they can be properly helped, you know.
Yes.
May need accommodation. They may need to know where they go for a free lunch or for a shower, you know. They need to know, they need to get some new clothes given to them sometimes, you know, stuff like that. Well, they can do that. Yeah.
This is Listen to Older Voices, featuring issues and information.
I'm Rob Grews and I'm talking with Jack Levi, and Jack is talking about some of the community organisations such as the Les Twentyman Foundation that help the community. In some ways there's a sad element to all of this, because as you were talking I'm thinking, gosh, when I was young and when we were young, that was the sort of thing that the family provided, didn't it? Whether it was the extended family with the grandparents or just your immediate parents. And yet we're in a situation now where we have to look externally to the families to provide those things. Where did we go wrong? What's happened?
I think relationships have been the problem. A lot of people have got into marriage or partnerships with people that they shouldn't have. They've been desperate to have a child, or they might have thought it was time, you know. So they've picked the wrong partners, and then, of course, there's a split, and you have single mother families, single father families. With single mother families, for example, you have an issue where you get rotating door male partners of this single mother who quite often won't be good to the kids, in fact might abuse them, so the kids run away. You know, they're safer outside the house than they are inside the house.
That's a really sad state of affairs.
So the breakdown of relationships, increasing breaking down of relationships, and a lot of that's because women used to have their role and men used to have their role, but of course, rightly so, women don't want to be pigeonholed as the person that just stays at home and has the slippers ready for their husband or partner. So because of women's liberation, and rightly so, them wanting a healthier role in the life, there's been some friction points, and relationships have broken up, and of course the kids suffer. Yeah.
Do you think then, as a society, we're doing enough? And if not, how do we bring about change? Because people seem to be very compartmentalised now and not really all that connected or interested in what's happening. You know, they're little boxes.
Well, people like Les Twentyman Foundation and Father Bob are doing what they can.
They're the exceptions, aren't they?
No, I don't think we're doing enough, really. And because we've got the poor example of politicians that lie, that's not good. Yeah, that makes people feel...
It normalises it,
and they think, well, if you can get away with it, you know, if you can lie through, say, an inquiry and get away with it, then you're the winner, you know. Some of those lies equals success. So it normalises it, yeah. So it's a real shame we've got politicians that lie so often at all levels, state and federal. And when you get someone like a Jackie Lambie that, you know, appears to be telling the truth and tells it as it is, it's fantastic. It's a refreshing change.
A rarity.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's great. And we obviously, I realise that, and politicians are part of a major party. They've got to toe the party line. I get that. But otherwise their job goes out the door. But it's a shame that it is the case. That is a shame. Yeah. If you don't toe the party line and go along with the bulldust, then you can lose your job. It's a shame.
It is, and it's, what's even sadder is it's hard to see it actually changing any in any meaningful way. It's almost entrenched.
Mm. It is, and, you know, we need probably more independence. Hopefully Darren Hinch will get back into federal politics. He's hoping to become a senator again. So, you know, we need people like that that actually kick a few heads and, you know, shake a few cages. Yeah.
Well, the current Prime Minister hasn't actually announced the election date yet, all still guessing. But there's a good chance that by the time your program goes to air and people are listening to this, the election is actually probably just over. So it'll be very interesting to see how it all does fall out in terms of how a lot of people are thinking independence.
Okay, so this interview won't go to air until probably after May or something.
It'll go to air in May.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't know when.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's
okay.
One thing we haven't actually touched upon in any way, shape, or form, and I don't know whether that's by accident or it's something that you don't feel strongly about, but environmental issues. Do you have any concerns of where we are both locally and globally with environmental issues?
Look, I have, but not to the extreme of others, no. I mean, I'm concerned if our waterways are dirty and I certainly don't throw trash around, rubbish around. I'm concerned with pollution, but we seem to have got on top of that with better controls on cars. Yeah, look, I'm concerned, but I'm not going to be out there pushing for reduction in our carbon dioxide levels. You know, I'm not going to be out there pushing for that, but, you know, if that is absolutely proven to be the case, that more carbon dioxide means global warming. I think it's certainly climate change. I think an increased population is causing climate change and some erratic consequences. We seem to be getting more of that, but I don't know whether it's actual global warming or it's just climate change. So yeah, but I am concerned, but I'm not active in fighting it.
Okay. Where do you see yourself in 10 years time? Because unless you walked out the door at the moment and accidentally the bus hit you.
You're,
as we've said, you're very healthy, you're very vital, so you could reasonably expect to live another 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself? Where's your future going? What do you want to do? What would you like to achieve?
I see myself doing the same as I am now, you know. Yeah.
Continuing to work in your...
Absolutely. Elliot Gobbert will live for another 20 years at least.
we hope
so. Yeah. I've got a great reputation in the corporate world because of the work I do the research I do. Wedding MC work, I'm loving that and doing well at it. All around Australia, mainly the eastern seaboard. Yeah, if I'm able to hop on an aeroplane, I can still work interstate. Mm. I expect to be able to do that in the next 10 years. I'll continue to support organisations like Les Twentyman Foundation and by helping them put on these big events that earn decent money. I'll continue to do birthday parties. They are getting older, the birthday parties. I used to do 21sts and 30ths. Now it's more 40ths, 50ths, 60ths, 70ths and 80ths. I've done two 80ths and I've got my third one coming up.
Gosh, okay.
But, yeah, often 60ths and 70ths, they know me very well and, yep.
Good responses.
Yep, great. Yeah. So I'll continue doing what I am doing. I'll continue to stay as fit as I can, continue to eat well, continue to have a good relationships with my friends. I've got good friends. Obviously, I'll lose my mum, but, you know, I'll continue to have a good relationship with my brother and his wife. Yeah, I really like my life at the moment. I just got myself a new car and I don't tend to change things very often, so I'll probably have that car for at least another 10 years, probably, unless we can't put petrol in our cars anymore if it turns electric. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have got, as you said, and it's been either emphasised implicitly or as part of another story. It's a very busy life in terms of all your work, but do you ever have time for yourself? And if so, what things do you like to do that's not involved with Elliot and his work?
Oh, look, I've got a good social life, yeah. I like to go and listen to music. You know, I'm going to see there's a double header of Spectrum and Matter Lake playing at the Arco Bar soon. I'm going to see that. I have been going to the Echuca Blues Festival every year in the past, not this year. So music, getting out socially. I mean, I love if somebody's got a organising a long lunch at Yarra Valley and I'm free, I'll go. You know, mm-hmm. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting away a bit.
No hobbies per se?
Look, I collect old tins on my mantelpiece in the next room.
Where did those come from? Old tins?
Tins. I just have any a fascination kind of tins for old tins.
Or is it a particular
No, story? No, any type. But I've got a full mantelpiece, so at the moment I haven't been adding any. Look, a share market. I like I dabble a bit in the share market, which is a bit of fun. A little bit of punting on the horses. I play with very little, but it's a good mental exercise for me. Following the footy, obviously. So I'm going to see some comedy festival shows. Do that whenever a comedy festival's on. I select shows. I go to theatre, some big productions.
Mm-hmm.
So I do. I'm not like a lot of other people in my industry who just, you know, they're only going out is to work, you know.
Yes,
you never see them in audiences. Never. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
In the future, we all have, like, living and dying are all part of being a human being.
Yep.
We have to accept both. And as we've said, hopefully you've got quite a few years left yet. But when the time comes and you pass away, how would you like your friends and family to remember you?
Oh, look, as a real contributor, somebody that offered something different in my professional life, offered something different and stood out from the clutter, was helpful for other people and used his power in comedy to help causes that otherwise wouldn't have been helped if he wasn't around. And outside of my professional life, just a person that was very kind to others, very compassionate, perceptive, just a good person. A person that didn't lie, put a lot of emphasis on the truth and put a lot of emphasis on reliability and showed an example of how to live to others. Yeah.
That would be a very nice legacy to leave.
Yeah. Yes. I'll probably polish that and embellish it a bit more as I get towards that point.
Of course. But
they're my early thoughts, yeah.
Well, Jack, our time is almost up, and I think people would think it was very remiss of me if I didn't put you on the spot and ask whether Elliot would like to say a few words to finish our talk together.
Oh,
yep.
You would be putting me on the spot. I mean, I'll get Elliot and he'll say one thing, okay? I'll get him. Hang on for a second. Hello, this is Elliot Goblet, and it was fantastic to talk to you, Rob. In fact, I was going internally berserk.
Thank you, Jack. It's been wonderful spending this time with you, and thank you very much for sharing a little of your life with myself and everyone listening. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure too, Rob.
And I thought it would be appropriate to finish the interview with a song by Elliot, one of Australia's greatest compositions, Friday on My Mind.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Come in Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday moves too slow. I've got Friday on my mind. Gonna have fun in the city. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Be with my girl, she's so pretty. She is out of sight to me. Tonight, I'll spend my bread tonight. I'll lose my head tonight. I've got to get tonight. Tonight.
Friday, I'll have Friday on my mind. Do the 5-day grind once more. I know I've nothing else that bugs me more than working for the rich man. Hey, I'll change that scene one day. Today I might be mad. Tomorrow I'll be glad. 'Cause I'll have Friday on my mind. Gonna have fun in the city. My girl, she's so pretty. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. She looks fine tonight. She is out of sight to me. Tonight, I'll spend my bread tonight. I'll lose my head tonight. I've got to get tonight. Tonight, tonight. Monday, I'll have Friday on my mind. I'd like to change the pace a bit now. I'm gonna have fun in the city. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Be with my girl, she's so pretty. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Gonna have fun in the city, oh yeah. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Be with my girl, she's so pretty.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Uniting Victoria Tasmania. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.